Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. We're taking a look back at the Outback Bowl. Not a pretty game for your Penn State Nittany Lions. We're taking a look at some of the individuals who played. Perhaps it was a new position, new responsibility for them. And these are players, though, who are going to be expected to perform next season. This game was a bit of a preview. Much was made of Jahan Dotson not playing, that every other wide receiver, T. Frank, had to move up a step. You went from wide receiver two to wide receiver one, which was the case for Parker Washington. How did he do as the new number one target?
I mean, you watched the game. I appreciate you asking me the question, but if there was one guy who didn't disappoint, it was Parker Washington. And this was one of those things that was a matter of time watching him. I tweeted out on my Twitter account, at Thomas Frank Carr, the first play I ever watched of Parker Washington from his high school highlight tape before I went into the actual full games. And it was him doing exactly what he did on that one-handed catch in the end zone for a touchdown. This one, obviously, in the Outback Bowl was just on a 15-yard completion on an overthrow. But that's what you're getting from Parker Washington. He has great ball skills. He is... of the diminutive receivers, he's built the right way. So if you want, this is my one problem I had with KJ Hamler is he was small and he was short. And he was obviously difference-making in speed and could be a player that was a huge asset to your offense, but he's never going to be the number one receiver like a Tyreek Hill. Because Tyreek Hill, for as small as he is, if you look at him, he is thick and strong and powerful in every part of his body. Parker Washington has that Rondale Moore, Tyreek Hill build. Does he have the speed to be the number one receiver next season? That's what we're going to find out. But he absolutely has those characteristics that can be a guy that can carry your offense, at least on volume, when it comes to short and intermediate passing. And we saw in the game, he's able to run by single coverage on a deep route and get a big completion. He hasn't had a ton of opportunities to do that because his job in this offense has been the chain mover. Kind of like in basketball, you know, you're the mid-range shooter, you're the three-point specialist, you have a role. His role was being that intermediate guy, and he got better as the season went on at doing that and being more than that. But this game, I think, showed he has the potential to be a number one receiver, and it was everything you could have hoped for from Parker Washington. He just didn't get a lot of quality targets downfield.
You alluded to it, T. Frank, but I always had the impression from watching his tape in high school that he was almost built like a running back. This is a guy who could catch the ball and break tackles. So I'm anxious to see him in the role that they had Jahan Dotson in when the announcers say, well, this Penn State team is going to look to get the ball in his hands as many ways as possible, jet sweep, wide receiver screen, and let him run with the ball afterwards. Is that a correct analysis of Parker Washington?
So he was doing that this year as well. He got some of those plays. I think the area where I want to see more is one-on-one down the field breaking tackles. So as an underneath and intermediate receiver, you can break a tackle and get 5 yards. And that's a good play because you caught the ball at five, you get five, that's 10. So that's great. That's a first down. If you are catching the ball at 12 and you are on a slant route or on an RPO or you're, you know, on a post and you break a tackle for a safety, that's a touchdown. So that's the difference between you have to break four tackles to do that when you're underneath versus having to get past one guy, break one tackle and get a touchdown. So that's what I guess I'm looking for next year from him, is having more deep targets, having more of that. But there's going to be more of that in the offense. You might expect Caden Saunders to take some of that as a vertical slot receiver that we've talked about previously. And then the transfer, Mitchell Tinsley, he's a similar style to Parker Washington, except that he's 6'1", 205 pounds. So he's a bigger receiver. So there's going to be a lot of potency in this offense next year. There's going to be a lot of talent down the field in the receiver room.
All right, let's look at the other side of the ball where there were a lot of starters missing. And one guy who made an impression was Smith Vilbert, credited with 3 sacks in the first half of this game.
Yeah, I hate to be the guy that does that, but I wasn't overly impressed. One of them, he's ushering the quarterback out of bounds, and that's technically a sack, where he's 3 yards away. He got no pressure on the play. KJ Jefferson rolls out of the pocket, and he just escorts him out of bounds. The other two, coverage sacks, I would call them. None of them were with urgency or with expertise. They were effort sacks, and you love to see effort from your players. But I don't see the edge bend and the explosiveness yet that I want to see from him for him to be a guy that you say, okay, the pass rush is safe next year with him and Adisa Isaac. I still think they're looking for a guy to be a pass rusher. And you could even hear James Franklin postgame saying, hey, that's great. We love that. We love that production. We're going to need something from him next year. It wasn't, we feel great about that. We saw this coming. I think they kind of know what those sacks were, and they're happy for them, but they're not exactly saying, okay, that's our next great defensive end. He's still got to prove that.
Thank you, T. Frank. We always count on you to pop that balloon of optimism. That's what you're
Hey, I gave
for.
You Olafishunu. I gave you that the left tackle is going to be good. So, you know what? Giveth and taketh away, I guess.
All right. Well, let's go elsewhere on the defense. Kalen King. Now, we've all been impressed with him from the very start, but he got the chance to start this game, was that main second cornerback. What'd you think of him?
It didn't get a lot of work. I mean, they threw the ball how many times in the second half? And most of the throws were not great, like, targets. He got beat on a crossing route early in the game. He missed a tackle on a cornerback blitz where they were using the corners to corral the running game for Arkansas. So those were two negative plays. But then he came back and had 2 solid tackles in the open field on the running back. That was good. And then he jumped pass on a comeback route against cover 3, which is something Penn State's been desperate to have for a while, of somebody that plays that with anticipation and can get some of those plays. That's been the most impressive thing, is outside of the rookie mistakes, outside of the freshman learning curve, he's shown real instincts to get to the football. So I thought it was a good performance, but again, he didn't have a lot of work to do, and Arkansas had basically no threat in their passing game, and they didn't need it in the second half. So a bit of an incomplete despite the number of plays, but largely encouraging, and you know, showed what we've seen confirmed most of the season of a little bit up and down, giving up some plays, but super confident, looks the part, plays the part, acts the part. It'll all come together for him, I think.
Staying in the defensive backfield for a second, Penn State fans were happy to hear that Jair Brown was coming back, so you did have one returning safety. I keep saying, you know, this is so much, he's playing the Jaquan Brisker role, came from the same JUCO, making that decision to come back for one more year. I was particularly impressed with his first interception, where it looked like he had to read the play and go a long way to get to the ball. Am I overstating how well he played just because of that one big play?
No. Again, in coverage, he was great. I think he still struggled in run fits and as a force defender to keep everything inside. That's been an area where he admitted he's grown this season and somewhere he wants to take a next step next year. So in coverage, he's been very good. And you saw that again of he is filling in the backside zone role in that red zone defense, and he reads the play, comes all the way across the field, runs about 35 yards, jumps in front, and gets the interception. So that was a great play. The other one was obviously a gift, but you don't ever turn down a free gift card, right? You cash the gift card. So he did that, and then some of the run game was similar of made some mistakes. I think he'll take a step next year in that role. I'll be interested to see if he actually physically fills the Jaquan Brisker role as that boundary safety, or if they keep him at field, where I think he has those zone coverage and free safety instincts to be good.
Well, it's interesting in talking about the defensive backs, as you said, they weren't challenged so much. And when you talked about the second interception as a gift one, as was pointed out to by our colleague Dustin Hawkinsmith earlier this week, he said, Jim, how often have we talked about other defensive backs on this team who have dropped those gift interceptions? So let's give him credit for holding on to it. And we didn't have to have the joke of, well, that's why he's playing defense instead of offense. Another guy who had a lot of responsibility changing positions was Curtis Jacobs. He was the only starting linebacker to play, and he was shifting to the Brandon Smith role. How did he do with that?
I don't think he did well. I was expecting that, too. That's just a hard change where you're now reading and reacting in the tackle box. And we saw Brandon Smith struggle with that last year, or this year, of making that transition and making it seamless, where you have so much more mental responsibility pre-snap. On top of the fact that Arkansas presents you some really unique challenges in terms of what they do in their running game and their short passing game, where it's all married together, and you've got to make some decisions, and you got to be right and anticipate some stuff in order to not get beaten one way or the other. And I just thought, like, early in the game, his gap discipline, actually on further review, was better than I thought, but there were still some times where he was late, and he was still obviously thinking. When he went back to the Sam linebacker position with Sutherland when he was injured, he immediately made two plays. And, you know, that was where he was natural, and that's where he's used to playing. 3 weeks is not a long time to learn an entirely new position and one that has as many responsibilities as the Mike and the Will. So he struggled with it, but that was to be expected. I don't think you should read anything into that as far as his play or his performance. My question is just going to be, does he learn it this offseason? Is he better at it in 2022 if they move him to that Will position, which I don't know if they're going to do or not. I truly don't know how they're going to fill those roles. All I know is that if Jonathan Sutherland is the starting Sam next year, they have a problem. I do not see him as a Sam linebacker.
How would you play Sutherland?
Special teams? I'm not trying to be mean. I struggle to find a position. Kind of like Lamont Wade. I see the talent. I see the physical skills. I struggle to find a position for him. And maybe it is Sam. Maybe I'm not seeing something, and Penn State's coaching staff has proven me wrong plenty of times when it comes to these positional switches and seeing something I don't, a la Jesse Luketta. I've struggled to find a real role for a 5'11" guy that has great burst but has trouble changing directions and playing with great anticipation.
In the last minute we have, tell me about the defensive tackles.
Jordan Vandenberg, I really thought he was fun. I like watching Jordan Vandenberg. I think he's got great strength and leverage. He needs to get a bit stronger and a bit bigger. There were some times where he got washed out by double teams or by good blocks by a very good offensive line. But he battled back. He held the point of attack really well. Thought he was great. He's going to be a problem for teams once he gets more and more comfortable in the defensive system. And then it was kind of the same thing from the other guys we've seen. Kaziah Izzard and Devon Eliz had up and down plays that led to some big explosive runs for Arkansas. They'll have to figure out how they're going to fix some of those problems before next year.
Very good, T. Frank. That is it for quarter number two. When we come back, quarter number three, we're going to take your questions and we're going to ask T. Frank. You want to stay tuned for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.